This episode covers how to bring up a hard conversation without it blowing up. You've rehearsed the conversation in your head 100 times and still haven't started it. What you're getting here is a 3-part opener that changes how these conversations go, plus a phrase that slows things down when they start to go sideways. You know how to bring up a hard conversation in theory. You've read the articles. You know you're supposed to use I statements and pick a calm moment. But when you've actually tried, it still turned into a fight. Now you second-guess the opener before you've even said a word. The topic sits there, growing heavier each week, while the distance between you quietly widens. Most difficult conversations don't fall apart in the middle. They fail in the opener. The first sentence carries a signal that travels faster than the words themselves. And if that signal reads as accusation, criticism, or attack, her nervous system registers it as a threat before her brain has processed what you actually said. Research from the Gottman Institute describes this as a harsh startup. When a conversation begins with blame, sarcasm, or contempt, it almost always ends badly regardless of how reasonable the content is. The data shows that roughly 96% of the time, the way a conversation starts predicts how it ends. That's not a character flaw in either of you. It's physiology. Her brain is scanning for safety before she's consciously deciding how to respond. If the opener reads as an attack, she defends. If it reads as a bid for connection, she opens. The same topic, same relationship, wildly different outcomes based on the first sentence. The other problem is timing. You've likely tried to bring something up when one of you is already carrying tension from something else, at the end of a long day, right after an unrelated argument, when she was clearly distracted or stressed. That's not bad luck. That's a pattern. Timing is not neutral. The same words spoken at the wrong moment read completely differently. The third failure point is what she thinks the conversation is about. If your opener doesn't give her a frame, a reason this matters to you, what you're hoping for, she fills in the blank herself. And what she fills in is usually the worst version. He's criticizing me again. This is going to be another fight about the same thing. She's already defensive before you've gotten to the actual point. Avoiding the conversation feels safe. It prevents the immediate pain of a fight, but it's not free. Every topic you don't raise becomes part of the atmosphere between you. She can sense there's something unspoken. You're carrying it. She's carrying her own version of what she thinks you're thinking. The distance doesn't stay neutral. It slowly becomes the default state of the relationship. When men avoid difficult conversations long enough, the relationship shifts into what feels like a functional partnership with no real depth. Logistics get handled. Life moves forward. But the emotional current between you goes quiet. And when the emotional current goes quiet, the physical connection follows. That's not a coincidence. Physical closeness in long-term relationships is fed by emotional safety. And emotional safety requires that both people believe the important things can actually be said. Here's what changes when you learn to start a hard conversation well. She starts to trust that you can handle hard things. That trust opens something. It's not immediate, and it's not guaranteed after one conversation. But a man who can raise difficult topics without the conversation exploding is a man she can be close to. That's the direct line between this skill and intimacy. When you approach her for a serious conversation, she reads several things before you say a word: your body language, your tone, your timing, whether you seem calm or loaded. By the time your first sentence arrives, she's already formed a preliminary read on what kind of conversation this is. If your opener sounds like a complaint, a criticism, or a door about to slam, her body prepares for conflict. Heart rate rises. Muscles tighten. She may not even realize it's happening, but she's no longer in a state where she can receive what you're saying clearly. This, what researchers call physiological flooding. When someone's heart rate rises above a certain threshold during conflict, rational processing takes a back seat to self-protection. She's not being stubborn or difficult. Her system has been activated, and that changes what's available to her in the conversation. The goal of a good opener is not to trick her or manage her. The goal is to give her accurate information about what kind of conversation this is, so her system doesn't have to guess and default to threat mode. When she knows this is a bid for closeness and not an ambush, she can stay open enough to actually hear you. A good opener for a hard conversation does three things in roughly this order. It names your emotional state briefly. It names what you want from the conversation. And it gives her a choice about when. You don't need all three every time, but when you use them together, you short-circuit most of the threat response before the topic even arrives. Part one, name your state briefly. Not a full explanation, not a detailed history of your feelings. One phrase that tells her where you're coming from. I've been thinking about something that's been on my mind. There's something I want to talk to you about, and I want to do it right. This creates transparency without drama. She's not left guessing. Part two, name what you want from the conversation. This is the most underused part of a hard opener, and it matters more than almost anything else. I'm not looking to argue. I just want us to understand each other. I want to figure something out with you, not at you. When she knows what the conversation is for, she can orient toward that instead of bracing for attack. Part three, give her a choice about when. Is this an okay time? Or can we find 20 minutes this week? This changes the power dynamic. She's not being ambushed. She has input. That small shift in agency often makes her more willing to engage, not less. If she says not now, you ask when. You follow through. This structure won't make every hard conversation easy, but it removes the most common triggers that cause conversations to blow up before they've actually started. Now, let's get into the actual words. Script one, the clean opener for something that's been avoided, for when there's a topic you've been sitting on for weeks. The longer it goes unspoken, the heavier it gets. Wait for a moment when neither of you is stressed about something else. Not right before bed. Not when she walks in the door. Not mid-argument. Sit near her, not across from her. Calm body language, no crossed arms. Say this, there's something I've been wanting to bring up, and I keep waiting for the right moment, and it keeps not happening. Just pause. Let her respond or settle. Then say, it's not an accusation. I just want us to talk about it. Is now okay? Or would later this week be better? Why it works? You've named the problem honestly. You've been avoiding it, which takes pressure off both of you. The second line signals the emotional tone. Giving her a choice about timing gives her agency. What happens next? Most of the time she'll say, what is it? Or yes, now is fine. If she says not now, don't read it as rejection. Ask when and follow through when that moment arrives. Script two. The low charge opener for a recurring topic. For when you've tried to have this conversation before, it turned into a fight. Now there's a layer of dread on top of the actual topic. Acknowledge the history explicitly. Don't pretend the previous attempts didn't happen. She remembers them. Name them briefly so she doesn't have to. Say this. I know we've tried to talk about this before, and it hasn't gone well. I don't want to go to that same place. Just pause for a moment, then say, I want to try it differently this time. Can I tell you what I actually mean? And will you tell me if I'm getting it wrong? Why it works. You've named the pattern without blame. You've asked for collaboration, not agreement. The phrase, tell me if I'm getting it wrong, signals you're open to being corrected, which lowers her defensiveness significantly. What happens next? She may still be guarded at first. That's normal. Give the opener time to settle before you move into the substance of the topic. Script three, the connection bid when things have been distant. For when the hard conversation isn't really about a specific issue, it's about the general distance you've both been feeling. You want to name that without it becoming an accusation. This works best in a quiet, unhurried moment. Not when kids are present or a task needs finishing. A Sunday morning, the end of a walk, somewhere with time and space. Say this, I've been feeling like we're not quite connecting lately, and I think I've been part of that. Just wait. Don't fill the silence immediately. Then say, I miss us. I want to figure out what's getting in the way. Do you have space for that conversation? Why it works. You've named the feeling without placing the blame on her. You've owned your part in the first breath. The phrase I miss us is a direct bid for connection, not a complaint. It tells her this conversation is about wanting more closeness, not assigning fault. What happens next? She may soften immediately. She may get emotional. She may also have her own things to say. Let her. This conversation works best when you're listening at least as much as you're talking. Script 4. The escape phrase when it starts to go wrong. For when you started the conversation, it felt okay for a minute, and now it's escalating. One of you is getting louder, shorter, more defensive. You can feel it going the wrong direction. This is an in-conversation repair, not an opener. Use it the moment you notice the temperature rising, before it's gone too far to come back from. Say this, I can feel this getting heated, and I don't want to lose the conversation. Just lower your voice deliberately when you say this. Then say, can we slow down for a second? I still want to get to something real here. Why it works. You've named what's happening without accusing her of escalating. I don't want to lose the conversation tells her you value the conversation itself, not just your position in it. Lowering your voice physically while saying this models the de-escalation you're asking for. What happens next? She may pause. She may need a moment. Some couples do better with a short break, 10 to 20 minutes before continuing. What matters is that you named the risk without making it her fault. Script 5, the repair opener for the day after. For when yesterday's conversation did blow up, it ended badly. There's tension today, and neither of you has addressed it. You want to come back to it, but you're not sure how to re-enter without restarting the fight. Come to her without an agenda to win. Your only goal is to re-establish connection and see if the conversation can finish differently. Say this, yesterday didn't go the way I wanted. I don't think I said it right. Just pause briefly. Let her register that you're owning something. Then say, I'm not trying to go back through all of it. I just want you to know I care about working it out, not about winning the argument. Why it works. You've taken ownership of something specific. I didn't say it right. Without attacking her for how she responded. You've separated your goal, connection, from a common fear, another fight about the same thing. This often opens the door to finishing the conversation more productively than it started. What happens next? She may respond with her own reflection. She may be ready to continue. She may need more time. Follow her. Lead on pacing. What you've done is signal that the door is open and that you're not done trying. Even when you start well, a few common patterns can unravel the conversation quickly. Recognizing them in the moment is more useful than avoiding them entirely, because you won't always catch yourself in time. Leading with always or never. You always do this, and you never listen, are both conversation enders. They're overstatements, and she knows they're overstatements, which shifts the conversation from the actual issue to defending the inaccuracy. Say what's true, not what's worst case. Stacking issues. You bring up one thing. It reminds you of another thing. So you bring that up too. Now she's responding to three topics at once, and the original conversation is buried. One topic per conversation. Let it finish before you introduce the next one, using the opener as a setup. If your I just want to talk opener is followed immediately by a hard criticism, she'll remember the manipulation, not the topic. The opener has to be honest. If you say you want to understand each other, actually try to understand her. Timing it wrong, on purpose, Raising a hard topic when she's clearly exhausted, distracted, or already overwhelmed isn't just bad strategy. It reads as passive aggression. She knows you know the timing is bad. Choose a moment that gives the conversation a real chance. Abandoning the conversation when it gets difficult. Going quiet, leaving the room, or shutting down mid-conversation is more damaging than a fight. It confirms her fear that the important things can't be said. Push through the discomfort if you can. If you genuinely need a break, name it and commit to a specific return time. Your natural communication pattern under stress shapes which parts of this are hardest for you. If you tend to keep the peace and avoid rocking the boat, your instinct before a hard conversation is to soften it so much that the actual point disappears. You might frame it as just wondering or not a big deal when it is a big deal. She can tell. The mismatch between your tone and your real meaning creates confusion. Give yourself permission to say this matters to you. You can be calm and direct at the same time. If you tend to go quiet or pull away when things get tense, bringing up a hard conversation requires you to stay present through discomfort you'd normally exit. The moment it starts to get emotional, your instinct is to shut down or leave. Try this. Stay physically in the room, even when you have nothing to say. I'm here. I'm just thinking buys you time without abandoning the conversation. Silence she can't read feels like rejection. Silence with a brief anchor phrase feels like patience. If you tend to push harder when you feel unheard, this is the style with the highest risk of blowing up a good opener. You start calm. She doesn't respond the way you hoped, and you turn up the volume. Practice keeping your voice level, even when the temperature rises. The moment you feel the urge to repeat yourself louder, that's the cue to use the escape phrase from script 4. Your passion reads as threat when the volume goes up, even when you mean it as care. If you tend to get defensive when the conversation shifts to your behavior, hard conversations often loop back towards something you did or didn't do. When that happens, your instinct is to explain, justify, or redirect. Try pausing at that moment and saying you might be right about that before you respond further. You don't have to agree with everything, but demonstrating that you can hear a criticism without immediately defending yourself changes the whole tone of the conversation. Even a well-constructed opener doesn't guarantee a warm response. Her patterns matter too, and knowing what to expect from hers helps you stay steady when the conversation doesn't go smoothly. If she tends to push harder when she's feeling distant, her response to your opener might be to unload everything that's been building. She's not attacking your good attempt. She's finally releasing pressure she's been holding. Don't interrupt. Don't defend the timing of when you're bringing this up. Let her finish. Then say, I hear all of that. I want to talk about every one of those things. Can we start with one? Giving her a path forward matters more than defending your approach. If she tends to go quiet and stop engaging, she may respond to your opener with a flat sure or no response at all. Don't interpret that as hostility. It may be exhaustion, skepticism, or the kind of emotional withdrawal that comes from years of conversations that didn't go anywhere. Don't push for more engagement than she's offering. Stay present. Keep your voice warm. Let the conversation develop slowly. Consistency over time builds more trust than one well-crafted opener. If she tends to pull back and protect her space, she may need more time between is now okay and actually beginning. Don't rush her. If she asks for a different time, honor it exactly. Showing up when you said you would and staying calm when the topic arrives tells her this conversation is safe to have. She needs to feel that the door has an exit before she's willing to walk through it. If she tends to be the one who usually initiates the hard conversations, she may respond to you initiating with some surprise or even some skepticism. That's fair. You haven't always done this. Don't react to the skepticism by defending yourself. Simply proceed. Let your behavior over several conversations make the case that this is real, not a one-time effort. Sometimes you'll do everything right, and it still blows up anyway. The conversation turns into a fight, regardless. That's not proof the approach failed. Sometimes there's history and emotional charge that a single good opener can't fully clear. What matters is what happens after. The most important recovery move is the one that happens soonest. Letting a conversation that ended badly sit for days without comment allows both of you to solidify into positions. The longer it sits, the more work the repair requires. A short, low-pressure re-entry is almost always better than a full redo. Something like, "I don't want yesterday to stay between us. Can we just acknowledge it was hard and try again when we're both ready?" This doesn't require resolving the original topic. It just keeps the channel open. The other recovery move that works: take clear ownership of your part without waiting for her to acknowledge hers. Not in a martyred way, not in a way that invites reciprocal confession. Just, "I came in too hot," or, "I brought it up at the wrong moment." That kind of direct ownership is disarming. It makes it harder for the conversation to stay in fight mode, because one of the combatants has just stepped down. What progress looks like after a bad conversation: she's willing to try again. That's it. If the conversation ended badly, and she's still willing to re-engage with you days later, you haven't lost the relationship to this topic. You've just learned something about what it needs from both of you. The payoff isn't the conversation itself. The payoff is what she starts to believe about you, and about the relationship, when conversations don't reliably end in damage. When she trusts that you can handle hard topics without escalating, without shutting down, without making her regret bringing something up, the emotional atmosphere of the relationship shifts. She stops pre-screening every difficult thing she wants to say. She stops carrying topics alone because she's worried about how you'll respond. She opens up in small ways first: a passing comment, a small worry she mentions without building a case around it. That opening is where emotional intimacy lives. And emotional intimacy is what creates the conditions for physical closeness. They're not separate tracks. A man who can hold a hard conversation without making his partner feel unsafe is a man she wants to be close to. Not in theory, in practice, in the body, in the willingness to reach for him instead of managing around him. You won't get there from one good opener, but one good opener is how you start. What is the one sentence that names this conversation honestly, without softening it into nothing? "There's something I've been wanting to bring up, and I keep waiting for the right moment." She engaged with the topic without immediately becoming defensive or shutting down, even if the conversation was still hard. The conversation ended without escalating into a fight, and within a day, there was at least one small moment of normal connection between you. If you want to go deeper on this, you'll find the links right in the guide where you got this audio. Or head to the 2-Way Intimacy Library page and look for the same title. The full guide, playbook, and checklist are all available as free PDF downloads. The playbook walks you through the key steps in a format you can work through on your own. The checklist gives you a quick reference you can come back to before a conversation. I hope this helps.